In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, this Sunday, I've chosen to speak to you about a little challenge we face as an apostolate, but one that, with God's grace and a little bit of generosity, I'm confident we can overcome. I'm confident because this little apostolate, all of you, has shown itself one of the most generous of all Institute of Christ the King apostolates in the United States. We're now in our 20th year of a parish sharing situation, which is in itself a difficult situation, and yet this apostolate has produced and continues to produce priestly vocations to the Institute of Christ the King. I have no doubt, therefore, of your capacity, of your generosity, but I think we need a greater realization of the subject about which I'm addressing you today. One of the principal ways that Catholic parents do the penance of duty of state is by fulfilling certain obligations vis-a-vis their children. We see that doing so even complements the mission of Holy Mother Church in a sort of teamwork, if you will, foreseen and desired by God from all eternity. I am talking about the role of parents in passing on to their children the basic elements of Catholic liturgy. In the context of a family, for sons who have already made their first communion, this means learning to serve Mass, concretely. I have told you before that it is important to be charitable to those individuals who currently serve Mass, to do what we can to ensure that it is not always the same ones, Sunday after Sunday, 365 days a year, who end up obliged to serve Mass because no one else will. To put it in the common parlance, that is not sustainable. People get hurt, they get sick, unexpected circumstances arise, they have to travel, and the list of legitimate reasons goes on. This Mass cannot continue indefinitely, regardless of whether or not we add new members to the core of altar servers. We're in a situation where it's necessary to add new members to the core of servers. In addition, though, to this need to be generous to those who already serve, there is another important point to remember. There was a time in history when it was standard for all Catholic sons still living under their parents' roof to serve Mass. Serving Mass was not considered by Catholic families just another option among many. No, parents saw this as a duty of theirs to complete their children's basic Catholic education, the elementary knowledge of the prayers and movements of God's greatest gift to the human race, that by which Christ's sacrifice is perpetuated here on earth until the end of time, and by which our entrance into heaven is made possible, the sacred liturgy. Do not underestimate, moreover, the special graces received from serving Mass. Who among us would suppose that being in the sanctuary during the Holy Sacrifice, that part of the church closest to the high altar and closed off by the communion rail, is just like being in any other part of the church? Thousands of years before Christ took flesh among us, Jacob, trembling, said, "How terrible is this place! This is no other but the house of God and the gate of heaven, in the city of Bethel, where God visited him in a dream and gave him the vision of the angels ascending and descending upon the ladder to heaven, and the Lord himself leaned upon the ladder." Similarly, being in the immediate presence of the consecration and elevation of the transubstantiated host and chalice, the body and blood of our Lord, brings us face to face with the awesome power of God over creation to change one substance into another, and that sliver of the universe where time stops and we are transported to the hill of Calvary on that day of all days, more than 2,000 years ago. To transpose these terms into a spiritual sense, it is like being at the center of the blast radius of an atomic bomb versus being 20 miles away. In better times for the church, there were enough priests at every parish to ensure that all of the functions could have theoretically been served by priests, to whom the obligation first falls to serve the liturgical functions. And indeed, at the Institute's International Seminary in Italy, every year when all of us priests return to the chapter meeting, it is the priests and not the seminarians who serve the liturgical functions at Mass and the other ceremonies. I have personally, as a priest, served as acolyte in the public low masses of other priests at other Institute apostolates, and they've served mine. At most parishes nowadays, and here in Oakland, of course, the situation of former eras is no longer applicable, and the duty to provide servers for masses falls to Catholic families. Now I realize how some of you might reply to this. Perhaps you suspect, or your sons have even said, that they're not interested in serving Mass. They'd rather do other things. They doubt their capabilities, and so on, and so on, and so on. First off, I ask you to please try to remember what exactly it is when we're doing when we come to Mass. At Holy Mass, we come before a God who, though infinitely merciful, is also infinitely just, and he is justly angered by our sins. We come before God as sinners, sinners in need of this propitiatory sacrifice to be offered if we hope to be saved. And we have, therefore, a corresponding obligation to assure that all of the details and needs of the Mass are met. Moreover, how many other times in your children's lives do you engage them in activities or training that is for their good, even if they're not terribly excited about it or simply don't want to do it? I'll bet some examples come readily to your minds. I'm almost embarrassed to ask this question since we're here in California and this involves something so very East Coasty, if you permit the expression, but has anyone here ever heard of something called cotillion? Don't worry, I'm not taking a count of hands. But cotillion, I will tell you, is very popular on the East Coast. And I had to do it for a few years in middle school. It is a series of evenings on which young people of both sexes are taught how to behave as gentlemen and ladies in mixed company, specifically in social events such as dinners and ballroom dances. Now, to be frank with you, I had absolutely zero interest in participating in cotillion at the age I was made to by my parents. But looking back, of course, I see the wisdom of their decision. Young men need to learn that there is a way to walk, to sit and to stand in public, a way to eat and drink in public, and a way to speak to women, notably with great respect and a delicate touch. Young ladies need to learn the importance of modesty and impropriety in dress, and the way they communicate with men so that virtue might be preserved. Both need to develop an appreciation for social culture and recreation, a legacy of Christian society, which recognizes that we're meant to do more than just work all the time, or go to the gym, or play video games, or who knows what else. We also need these more lighthearted but nevertheless formal occasions on which men and women gather together and recreate together in a Christian manner, a manner which can even make such occasions the place where one can meet their future spouse. My point, of course, is that if you're willing to sign up your children for activities, classes, sports, or summer camps that they may initially complain about bitterly, I earnestly hope you would consider encouraging your sons to participate in that greatest privilege we can have on this side of heaven, serving the Holy Mass. And it seems to me that one of the pains of our Lord's Sacred Heart, for which he desires consolation, is the sadness of seeing that it is difficult sometimes to have an adequate number of altar servers for the Holy Mass. And it would be wonderful if we could console his Sacred Heart by remedying this problem. Remember as well that there are other volunteers, be it in the Corps of Servers or in other capacities, who have already been generous by signing up to help, not necessarily because they wanted to, but simply because it was needed. I can think of at least one member of the choir whose arm I had to twist a bit to get them to agree to chant. And not only did that person continue, now they end up conducting a choir at least one Sunday a month, I think. Finally, please take into account that serving the Mass could very well end up being the occasion for a young man to be inspired to the priestly vocation. When I was growing up, I had a very definite plan for my life, and it didn't involve being anywhere near a church sanctuary. If anyone had told me at, for example, the age of 14, that I would be a priest someday, I probably would have looked at them like they had three heads. Nevertheless, God used certain people and certain invitations I received to gradually draw me closer to Him until the day the idea of the vocation came to mind. At first, of course, I tried with all my might to put it out of my mind. But as our Lord once said to St. Paul, it is hard for thee to kick against the goad. So in closing, dear Catholic families, please do earnestly consider this appeal. At the very least, don't be afraid to talk to your sons about serving and encourage them to try it. Yes, it is good for the priest to talk to sons, but it does have to come from parents, too. We are all looking with hopeful eyes to that day on which we will enter into the heavenly liturgy. It does not hurt to start preparing while we are still here on earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.